1 Corinthians 13 is probably familiar to you. And we as a congregation are spending our summer in 1 Corinthians 13. And some, at least a couple I know, have said, I want to memorize chapter 13, all 13 verses this summer. And this is my challenge to you as an individual or as a family or as a family life group. Would you just commit to memorizing the words from 1 Corinthians 13? I'm up to verse 2, so if you want to join, please let me know. And we can encourage one another towards this chapter of the Bible. We come to the first descriptive word this morning of love. And the word is patience. And I say, why, Lord, do we have to talk about patience? Pastor Adam put together this schedule, and he gave me the honor of teaching on patience. And I have discovered this week, I thought I was a patient person, but I've discovered this week that I know why Pastor Adam wanted me to preach on patience. Thank you very much. Because I needed this. I needed this. And, you know, one of the clearest ways that we see our weakness in this area is, comes out in the area of driving. Yes, driving. As a matter of fact, every stage of life seems to learn something about patience while we're in a vehicle. Just take, for example, the infant in the car seat. Are they practicing patience? And you can't get to them because they're in the back seat, right? Patience. They learn it as an infant in a car seat, and then a toddler in a booster seat or a child in a booster seat. Ham's back there shaking his head like, nah, I need patience, right? And the question is, are we there yet? Patience. How about the teenager, that stage of life? Are they learning something about patience in a vehicle? And their question is, when do I get to drive? When do I get to be in the driver's seat? So we learn something about patience as a teenager. And then you get the parent with the teenager when they are in the driver's seat. Are we learning something about patience then? I love the bumper sticker that you can see the bumper sticker on the board, but I saw another bumper sticker that said, please be patient. My daughter is learning how to drive, and there's already one person yelling at her. And then some of us learn something about patience in the vehicle when our spouse is driving. In the passenger seat, we sit, and we're learning a lot about patience. And by the way, one of life's greatest annoyances is the back seat driver. So you can begin to see how helpful this is. And it's not just when you're driving, but it's when you're not driving that we learn patience. And I realize that there's some in the room, and there's many and more who will be in this stage of life soon, when one day we will no longer be able to drive for various reasons. And then we will need patience to wait on other people to drive us somewhere. Patience. We learn a lot about patience in a vehicle. But you know, driving is only one example out of a million areas of our lives where we're developing, we're being challenged in this area to grow in patience. And unfortunately, when we're impatient, just flows all kinds of sinful responses out of us. The heart behind patience is right here in chapter 13. It's the heart of love. Love, that is first and foremost demonstrated by God. The scriptures say, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but God demonstrated his own love for us while we were yet, next word everybody, sinners. Sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Patience. patience coming from a heart of love, and that's displayed so clearly in the death of Christ. So here we are, again, returning to this chapter, and we've already seen the first three verses in chapter 13, and if you're not there, you can open your Bibles to see it. But the very first verse of chapter 13 talks about the most impressive speech without love is nothing. Verse 2, the most impressive use of spiritual gifts without love is nothing. And verse 3, the most impressive personal sacrifice without love is nothing. See, love is a crucial element that prompts us to move forward and to understand what love is, because it does not come natural to us. You see, chapter 13, over and over we see the word love, and every time the Greek word is the word agape. And we're going to talk more about what that is in just a minute, but you'll see in chapter 13, starting in verse 4, where we are today, that begins 16 action verbs, seven are positive and 9 are negative, and come back to hear more of those. But today, our text is 3 words: love is patient. Love is patient. You're getting excited, aren't you? 3 words in today's text. We're going to be out here, honey, in about 20 minutes, aren't we? Well, be patient, everybody, because though the text is 3 words today, the concepts will dig right to our very hearts. And having said that, I want you to understand that God develops his patience in us so we might display patience to others. And once again, I just ask you to pause, because the topic is so deep. I ask you just to close your eyes, and we must first acknowledge our weakness. And I, as the communicator of this holy script, ask for your help, Father, that my words will be clear and concise, and that the study that I've done this week and the conviction that has come to me and continues to come to me as I deal with such a big subject that digs right to my heart, I pray that you'll help us to be open and responsive to your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit that lives within us because of Jesus our Savior. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. So what is love? Well, love is, I've already mentioned the big Greek word, love is agape. Love is agape. And agape has real significant meaning, but it's essential to understand this truth if you're one of God's people. You see, it's translated love in most of our English translations. The older King James uses the word charity, and this is one of the rarest words in the ancient Greek literature, but it's one of the most common words in the New Testament, the word agape, and it is a self-giving love that demands action. It's more concerned with giving than receiving. It's so unnatural to us, though. Our natural bent is to wake up in the morning and think about me and what I want. And we in our world don't do that. We think of romantic feelings or attractions or what benefits me. As one old country song explains love like this, love is a butterfly. The multicolored moods of love are like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside. It flutters like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. I feel it when you're with me. It happens when you kiss me. That rare and gentle feeling that I feel inside. Your touch is soft and gentle. Your kiss is warm and tender. Whenever I'm with you, I think of butterflies. That's how our world thinks of love. It's all about what benefits me and the gushy feelings, the warm feelings, romance, affection, and desire. And all too often when one says, I love you, what they actually mean is, well, I actually love me and I want you. And that, of course, is the worst sort of selfishness. That's the very opposite of agape love that's presented here in chapter 13 and throughout much of your New Testament. So agape love is not romantic or sexual love. That's not what we're talking about. It's not just a pleasant, self-fulfilled feeling. It's more than that, much more than that. And so I want you to know that agape love is essential in the lives of God's people. First off, agape love is commanded of us. We are to live selflessly. Agape love is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We are to live submissively to the Holy Spirit. And agape love is expressed through us actively, and we're supposed to live generously. So agape love, that's the term that is in chapter 13. And all of these descriptive words that we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks, they all begin right here in chapter 4 with the word, say it out loud. The word is patience. Say it out loud. Patience. You're like me, you don't want to say it. It's too convicting. So patience is, let's just start with patience. And you might ask, well, why do we have to start with patience? That's my question. Why does this long list of descriptive phrases for love start with patience? And the answer is, well, I don't really know. So what I want you to do is I want you to talk about that at your family life group tonight. For those who are participating in one of those, ask that question. I think it's a good question to ask. Why does this long list start with patience? But before we dive into this subject, I've got to tell you some words of warning here. Number one, please be patient as we unpack this and make this personal. Please be patient. Secondly, let's pray for discernment and conviction in this subject, because we might miss it in ourselves, so we need to pray for the Holy Spirit's development. And let's be careful to think of ourselves before we think of the person seated beside you. That's always easier to apply the scriptures to them than to me. And so that's a word of warning. Apply it to ourselves before we apply it to someone else. Let's understand, too, that justice does come upon evildoers. But it is in God's timing, not in ours. It's God who revenges, and we are called not to seek revenge. That's a word of warning. Please understand that we're not talking about brushing sin under the rug and ignoring that. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're not called to be punching bags and endure unjust treatment of evil. But today, our focus could be so broad, but we're going to bring it down to the everyday annoyances that challenge this area of patience as it relates to the people around us and within our lives. And it's not just thinking about the sinful offenses done against us, but let's also think about the sinless annoyances or personality shortcomings that demand our patience with another person. And please don't chomp ice in front of me. You know what I mean? All of us have pet peeves, and you've just discovered one of mine. There's these annoyances that people have that kind of get under your skin. It's a burr under your saddle. And it's those issues. Now, you're thinking, he really is bothered by chomping on ice? Well, everybody in this room has something, right? Let's admit it. And let's learn patience even over those annoyances that might display themselves in our lives. And for when we were raising our children, one of my pet peeves was my teenage son always wanted to talk when it was my bedtime. Talk about an annoyance. I was ready for bed, and he was ready to talk. And so there he would. He'd jump on Phyllis and my bed, and there he would want to talk. And Phyllis would have to calm me down. Now, let's be patient. He's wanting to talk. We need to listen. Annoyances. Let's be clear, though, what patience is. First off, patience is actually defined by God, and we've already seen that in our singing today. We've seen that a lot. Pastor Adam, in your prayer, you've talked about the patience of God and how that's played out in our lives. The term patience actually means long-tempered or long-suffering, and it has a passive element that's found within love. We should let some things go. Patience highlights what we do not do. We should not seek revenge or a get-even attitude. We should be slow to anger, like the Lord himself, as we will soon see. And let's not let our emotions so quickly overwhelm us when we interact with one another. So this is an attribute of God. Patience is an attribute of God. If you want to see patience, look to God first and foremost. Moses and the Israelites were recipients of God's patience. And you can see it in Exodus chapter 34 as the Lord said to Moses, cut yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. So Moses cut two tablets of stones like the first. Now let me just pause. Did you notice how many times it said the first stones? How many times? Did you count them? Three. You got it, Rick. Three. What is significant in God's communication right here with Moses? Who broke the first stones? Moses. Why did Moses break the first stones? He had grown impatient with the Israelites. He was angry. He threw down the stones. He sinned in his response to the sinful Israelites. And God is here pointing that out to Moses, that you broke the first stones. You were impatient. You sinned. Let's read on. So Moses did what God said. He cut two tablets of stone like the first. And he rose early in the morning and he went to Mount Sinai. And as the Lord had commanded him, he took in his hand two tablets of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. What's the next three words? Say it out loud. Slow to anger. And next three words, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins. Stop there. Can you begin to see what God is revealing about himself? Moses needed to understand that though he had sinned, God was extending his steadfast love to Moses and to the Israelites. He was showing him, you have sinned, but I am a God who is slow to anger. abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins. Aren't you thankful that we have a God who is patient? He is perfectly patient. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a really patient person in this room, someone that maybe is more patient than anybody else in this room, but even that person is not perfectly patient, and we have a God that is perfectly patient. But it doesn't stop there. In this conversation between God and Moses, he says, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children, the children's children, to the third and fourth generation? God does not sweep sin under the rug, though God is patient and long-suffering, slow to anger, yet God does judge sin. Aren't you thankful that we know that God poured out his sin upon his Son, the Lord Jesus? His patience with us is only because Jesus Christ died for us. He is patient. And this is what was communicated to Moses and to the Israelites. They were recipients of God's patience. And we won't go into all the ways that they sinned against God, but over and over again, they sinned. They offended God, and yet he extended his patience to them. Steadfast love. There's another example. It's the Ninevites and Jonah. They were recipients of God's patience. Look at it in Jonah chapter 4. This is after Jonah had already been spit out of the fish. And Jonah was unhappy because the Ninevites had repented and turned back. They had turned to God from their sinful lives. And Jonah did not like the Ninevites. And he was displeased exceedingly, it says, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah knew that God was perfectly patient. And he was not. He had had it with the Ninevites, and he was unhappy about that. He discovered this truth about God, and he wasn't happy about it. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you thankful that God is long-suffering to us? That he is patient not just with the Moses and the Israelites and the Ninevites and in one sense even patient with Jonah. But as I look around this room, there's a lot of examples of patience right here in this room. God's patience has been poured out upon us. As a matter of fact, if it hadn't been, this room would probably be empty. I doubt that you would be here today if God hadn't poured out his patience, and that's what drew you here, is many of you understand how patient and loving God has been, and so you're here to worship him, the one who has extended his patience to you. This is patience, and God's character defines patience in a perfect way. And that characteristic of patience is being developed in the lives of his people. We don't have it together with patience. God does, but we don't. It's being developed in us. Are we born with a patient temperament? Well, moms, was your little junior a naturally pleasant child, just calmly waiting for you to feed them? No, We're not naturally born with patience. We're naturally impatient. We want our way, and we want it now. Do any of us by nature have this disposition to endure an irritating person? Very few, if any, find patience to be an easy trait to display to one another. And patience didn't come natural to the Corinthians, too. That's this chapter. The Corinthian church, they were fussing with each other over who was the best, who was the better speaker and teacher. They were using spiritual gifts for their own benefit. There were members who had wronged one another and were taking one another to court to settle their disagreements. And they were even abusing some of their worship, specifically the Lord's Supper, when they practiced communion. And they were not being patient with one another. But I'm here to tell you that God is at work with impatient people. You see, it's God's Spirit working within us to develop patience. He promised to send His Spirit to live within us when He left. Jesus did. And so it is, the Spirit of God is working inside of us to teach us patience. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Next one, patience. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Spirit of God lives inside of those who are God's people, and He's teaching us patience. Now, it may not seem like it. You might think, oh, I just can't be patient. He's at work within you. Just be patient with Him, and He will work within you. But He also is working within us, but He also asks us to be submissive to His working, to His prompting. And that's the message of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, urge you to walk. So he urges them to walk, to live in a manner worthy of their calling, which they have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience. And here's a good definition of patience: bearing with one another in love. He's developing patience in us, but He's also expecting us to respond in obedience to the promptings of the Spirit. That's why He says, I urge you, brothers, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And patience is a part of that call. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul also said, but we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. He's expecting us to respond to the Spirit's prompting with obedience and to learn something about patience. Patience is the ability to persevere during trials. And some in the room may be thinking, well, yeah, this is broad, patience is. We can be talking about trying circumstances, but in this chapter, are we talking about circumstances, chapter 13? No, we're talking about patience with trying people. So how about you? Which are you more patient with? Trying circumstances? Circumstances that are testing you? Circumstances that are difficult? Or do you find it easier to be patient with trying people? People that are testing you? People that are challenging you? Which one? You don't have to say it out loud. Maybe that's a question you want to talk about tonight at your family life night. Which one? Well, I want to wrap this up by looking at how patience was displayed through the life of, let's start with Joseph. Do you remember Joseph in the book of Genesis? Why did Joseph need to be patient? Well, because his brothers had sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites, a whole caravan. They had literally sold him into slavery, and then they pretended that he had died, and they told his father that he was dead, and Joseph went into slavery in Egypt, and he served Pharaoh, but then there was some lies that took place, and he ended up back in prison. And did Joseph need to learn patience? He sure did. This is a display of patience in the life of Joseph. But towards the end of the story, at least what's recorded for us in Genesis chapter, let's see, is it on the screen? Genesis chapter 45, you'll see that what Joseph said to his brothers, they came to Egypt to get food, and they didn't realize Joseph was in a prominent position. And all of a sudden, when they were seeking food, here's Joseph and his brothers standing there, and Joseph is a prominent official, and they're now in need of food. And does Joseph retaliate and say, kill him? Does Joseph say, there's no way I'm giving you food. You sold me into slavery. No. Joseph said, come near to me. They didn't know who he was. He said, and they came near, and he said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Joseph is a display of patience with his brothers. He didn't seek to get even. He sought to love them, and he extended patience to them. That's from the life of Joseph, but we have two more displays of patience and the dying words of Stephen, for one. Stephen, do you remember Stephen? In the New Testament, Stephen, in the book of Acts, was persecuted. And before an angry mob who knew he was a follower of Christ, and they were angry, and they began to throw stones and kill him. And there's a display of patience in his dying words when Stephen said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he has said this, he fell asleep and he died. That is a display of patience. He asked God to forgive them. He's displaying patience. How about the dying words of our Lord Jesus himself from the cross? As it says in this Holy Script, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the display of patience in our Lord himself. And from these men of the Scriptures, displaying patience with trying people, people that had done them wrong, people that had offended them, they displayed loving, agape patience. So how about us? Are we displaying patience to the people that do us wrong? Are we displaying patience to those that rub us wrong, just get under our skin? Well, I ask you to consider this question. Are you a impatient or a patient person? See, patience must be displayed through our lives, but you might think, I'm not that bad. I'm not an impatient person. Well, here's three evidence, and there's a whole list we could make, and maybe it's your family life group tonight. You want to add some evidence to this. But here's three evidences that I need to grow in patience. Number one is an increasing irritability over the years. I had a birthday last week, by the way, in case you missed it. You still got some time. But as I get older, I'm discovering I could easily become a grumpy old man. You don't have to shake your head yes or anything like that right now. I'm just being honest with you that little things get under my skin that used to not bother me. Little things. And by the way, my hearing's not so good anymore. Sometimes I have a hard time hearing. And when my wife says to me something from the other room, I'm thinking, I haven't a clue what she just said. And I say, what did you say? And she'll say it again. And sometimes I find myself getting irritable over that. Frustrated. Impatient. That's one example. Maybe you can't relate to that at all. But my point is sometimes I'm fearful that I'm becoming more and more irritable instead of more and more like Christ. That's a question to ask myself. Am I characterized by pessimism more than optimism? What is my tone when I don't get my way? It's either my way or the highway. You've heard it said many times, right? But don't say it. And let's just ask the Lord to change it, if that's our attitude. Number two is another evidence is an unwillingness to put the past offenses in the past. Sometimes impatience is showing up with unforgiveness. Just can't forgive them for what they said. I just can't forgive them for what they did. That could be evidence that I need to grow in patience. Or possibly the third one is just maybe a bout of frustration becomes a shout of anger if the tone is raising and the blood pressure too. Possibly that's another evidence that I need to grow in patience. By the way, those are three evidences, but the reality is we all know we need to grow in patience. Well, you might say, well, yeah, but David, how, Pastor Dave, how can I grow in patience? This is a lifelong thing. Well, right, but it starts with some fertilizers that will help us in our growth and patience. And the first one is just a submission to the working of God's Spirit in my life. And God's Word is used by God's Spirit to help me become the man of God I need to be. So I need to spend time in this book personally, applying it to my life and submitting to the promptings of the Spirit. Secondly, just accept the plan of God in your life. Sometimes we're fighting against, why do these people have to live next door to me? They rub me wrong. They do this and it irritates me. Can they just move away? And yet the reality is the Lord probably has them as your neighbor for a reason. See what I mean by accept the plan of God's will in your life? And then thirdly, is pray. Now you've heard it said, don't pray for patience. Have you heard that? I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the pit. By all means, pray for the development of God's character of patience in your life. Pray for it. Pray for it. Ask God. And I know all this is really heavy and very extensive, and I invite you to do some good reading. There's all kinds of good reading material about patience, but so the past 2 weeks here I've read a devotional called, it's a 30-day devotional, but I read it in 2 weeks, Patience, Waiting with Hope. If you're interested in a copy of this, would you just write that on the bottom of your connection card on your handout there? Let us know, and we'll help you get a copy of that. Or maybe it's just a better understanding of forgiveness, because we've dealt with that this morning, and I got a couple of good resources about that. And again, write, would you just give me some material about forgiveness? One more, it's just God's love. Understanding God's love is another good resource. These are examples we'd like to put in your hands. It's a big topic, and we're just scratching the surface. But I'm here to tell you, we must first turn to Christ in repentance to understand patience. There's no way patience can be developed in us if we don't understand his patience with us, first and foremost. As the script says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Well, I'm going to invite the music team to come up right now. And by the way, you guys, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. I very much appreciate it. But see, God is waiting for us to turn to him in obedience and repentance. He's waiting for us because, as the song we're getting ready to sing says, his mercy is more. It's stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. This morning, if we can pray with you, feel welcome to come up. Or if you just want to sit on the front seat here and pray by yourself, you're sure welcome to do that. We don't need to ask you anything. Or if you'd like someone to pray with you, just come up and whisper in my ear. And Brother Russell, you're available to pray with folks, aren't you, this morning? And we'd like to pray with you this morning. Some of our ladies here in the church, eager to pray with you. I realize this is a big topic. As the song says, what riches of kindness he has lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. And our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Amen. Let's sing it together.